As a business leader, you know attracting top talent is just the beginning. Real growth happens when you lead yourself and others well. Creating a company culture that attracts, nurtures, and retains the best of all things. We'll teach you how to make an impact through a holistic leadership approach. Reframing success in leadership. This is the Talent Magnet Institute podcast with your host, Mike Sipple Jr.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Talent Magnet Institute podcast. And we're officially live here with John Thurman, the co-host to the HR Social Hour. You all had a video interview that we released a few weeks ago with Wendy Daly and myself, and her and John are the masterminds behind the HR Social Hour. So thank you for joining me live in the studio.
Mike, it's an absolute joy, as I told you earlier, between creating content for work and getting to meet somebody outside of town earlier today for the first time, and then to get to meet you and spend some time together and do this. It just caps off the week, man.
Yeah,
this is
great.
This is good. Absolutely great.
So those that tune in, we talk about community building, right? And
absolutely.
I've had the pleasure of feeling like I'm a part of John's community. So it is like a kid in a candy store meeting a celebrity for the first time.
You're too kind.
And it's a real pleasure to have people like John and Wendy that are doing this podcast activities, live interviews, live interactions. It's not easy. But once you know that, like, these are all just really good people,
right?
And we're trying to do good work with those really good people, you help make life a whole lot easier. So thank you for joining us for this experience. John, share with us a little bit about what's the experience been like. You and Wendy are invited often to conferences all over the country.
Sure.
Has that been because of the HR Social Hour, or has that been for other reasons?
I think it's a mix of things. We talk a lot on the show about finding your voice, and that's something Wendy and I are really keen on. For those of you who don't know me, I'm an HR practitioner, been in the business for almost 20 years, started in recruiting, did a stint in labor relations, I've been in HR leadership. Now I'm an HR manager for a construction company in a regional role. Wendy and I started a Twitter chat 2 years ago when we didn't go to a SHRM conference together, and we were bummed, and we said, hey, we want to spend some time with friends and commiserate. That was 65 people from 9 countries showed up on a Sunday night to talk,
wow,
which was mind-boggling. We didn't expect it at all. It was not the plan, and it happened. We then launched the HR Social Hour Twitter chat from that initial Not at SHRM event. We started that 2 years ago. And then last December, I called Wendy and I said, I want to start a podcast. I want to get this thing going, and I think that we just need to find what's going to differentiate us. There are a lot of tremendous shows. I mean, your show's tremendous. Lori Rudiman, Jim McClure, there's a lot of really good content out there. What can we do that's different? And Wendy and I have been very keen on building community. Mm-hmm. Twitter chat really started that and building this group of people that got together to have conversations about HR, but also to get to know each other. You know, in our chat, the first question every month is, what's in your glass?
Yeah.
Because it's a Sunday night. You know, let's have fun. Let's be light. When we found what worked with us in the podcast was really focusing on about building your network, power connection, and giving back. And how do you do those things? When we launched 18 months ago, we thought we'd have 50 listeners. We thought the 50 people that take part in the Twitter chat, maybe a person now and again would find us. We're in 88 countries now.
Wow.
That was not the plan. That was never the plan. I had just 2 weeks ago, I had somebody from Argentina contact me on LinkedIn and said, I listen to your podcast.
That's awesome.
And I said, okay, when do I get to talk to you? Because I want to understand, first of all, how'd you find us? But what's going on with HR in Argentina? Because what we found, as we've talked to practitioners from literally India and Australia, New Zealand, all over, literally on the other side of the planet, we're all dealing with a lot of the same people issues.
Yeah.
Regardless of culture, regardless of
right.
language, whatever it may be, a lot of those things are the same. So as far as the opportunities that have come up, absolutely. I think a lot of it is just because we found our voice through the podcast. Wendy's obviously blogging, doing a great job there. And then she's developed the Wonder Women podcast beyond Social Hour, which really focuses on primarily women of color in the HR community and boosting their signal and helping them with their voice. The things we speak about are not necessarily things that we talk about on the show. We do talk about building community, but you know, we also talk about some more of the tactical HR things too. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm big in social recruiting. So I talk a lot about social media recruiting and military recruiting, those types of things as well. I think though, like I said, just having the voice, and then if somebody says, oh, who are you or what do you do? And they can look us up,
right.
Then all of a sudden you've got 124 to date episodes of content that somebody can find to say, this is what John and Wendy are all about.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. And they can really hear who you are at the heart. I mean, part of the love I have for your podcast is you really get to know people. That Absolutely. Whole social connectivity, you can right. feel that value run through what you do.
That was the goal from the beginning, yeah. was literally the idea being, if I met you at a conference and I'd heard you on the Social Hour, first half of the show being about you as an individual, talking about your particular skills and experience and what's going on in your world. That second part being that question connection where, you know, we're going to talk about your favorite movie or your favorite TV show. All of a sudden I meet you somewhere. Hey, Mike, I know your favorite movie is Elf. That's my favorite movie too. Or what, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. Or, you know, you're into Rush. Rush is a big band for me. Yeah. When somebody throws out a totally obscure band, a few weeks ago, we had somebody on that said, they mentioned the Winery Dogs. The Winery Dogs is a trio, and their drummer's Mike Portnoy. Mike Portnoy is my 16-year-old's favorite drummer. Oh, wow. And we were supposed to see them this year. Unfortunately, I was at a conference in New York. Oh, wow. I couldn't go. But that person said, oh, this band, the Winery Dogs, they're awesome. And then all of a sudden I said, oh, I know who the Winery Dogs are. And she flipped out because that's not something most people know. Right. But maybe you meet her at a conference. You go, oh, I listen to the Winery Dogs too. That's been one of the most exciting things, yeah. you know, is just to build that connection. And then, again, you meet somebody and they say, hey, I feel like – or I already feel like I know you.
Right.
And Absolutely. I feel like I've known you because we've obviously talked online. Sure. And you were on our show, yeah. and it was tremendous fun. But then we sit down and break bread together. It's an entirely different level yeah. of connection.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and I really appreciate that. You know, we all have the ability, those tuning in, we all have the ability to build a community around us and make an impact.
Absolutely.
And the fact that you can take such a large, I mean, there's tens of thousands of, you probably know the exact number, but SHRM members and things like that. Mm-hmm. Now that when you hear the keynote, you actually can say, wow, I've listened to them on the HR Social Hour podcast. And now I feel like I know them a little bit more. And to your point, I can go up to them and say, hey, I really enjoyed what you said. And yeah. I didn't know you grew up in the same town that I grew up in and all these different things.
I've had multiple people tell me, John, I've known so-and-so for years. After listening to what you talked about on your show, though, there's something about them I had no idea about.
Yeah.
Again, I think it's fun. One of my favorite stories is a couple of our friends. One, Ann Tompkinson, who maybe some of you watching the show know, Ann was a professional sign language interpreter for the first part of her career, before she ever got an HR, professional sign language work. Well, we had a friend who works a lot in the disability community and was also trying to learn sign language. So we connected the two of them at SHRM in Chicago in 2018 so they could spend some time together. Now, that all came because we knew about her story, we knew about his story,
wow.
and here we are able to connect them to talk about something that probably wouldn't have come up otherwise. They may have talked about HR work or the kind of the trench work we do, but maybe not about skills that one had that the other's trying to develop. That's one of my favorite things that's come out of it, you know, beyond the people that we've met, the people we've been introduced to, you know, along the way. Again, having some of these people internationally that are contacting me and saying, we listen to your show and we really appreciate what you're doing. Again, how do you find us? How does that work?
Yeah.
But no, it's been a tremendous amount of fun. And again, we started with that idea of we're just going to start with those friends and the people that we knew, never dreaming that it would be this whole thing
yeah,
and this whole growth that we have developed. You know, as one of my other friends put it, you know, you have a Rolodex of connections now
yeah.
that you know personally, that but have all these different skills in our industry, you know, outside the industry, vendors, analysts, people that I can connect with mm-hmm. that. You know, maybe I need help down the road with something. Got them in your back pocket.
Explain to those listening what a Twitter chat is. Not everybody in the world knows that. And explain how that came about.
Twitter chat is a predetermined time and you'll have a topic. So let's say our show is our Twitter chat's the HR Social Hour. It's the fourth Sunday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern time. 7 o'clock, I'll welcome everybody to the Twitter chat. So you got to be on Twitter and we use the hashtag HR Social Hour. So the first question is Q1. I'll say, Q1, what's in your glass? Then you would answer, A1, I'm having water. A1, I'm having a soda. A1, I'm having an adult beverage. Whatever it is you're having, hashtag HR Social Hour. And during that time, that predetermined time, typically they're either 30 minutes or an hour, you're keeping track of that conversation. So, you know, we ask 6 questions typically during the Social Hour chat, and you'll answer those 6 questions. People can go off and have side conversations. I'm moderating the conversation, so I'm sending the questions out. I'm retweeting, sharing other people's content. Maybe I'll make a comment on a thing here or there. it's, again, a way to build that conversation. And, you know, we'll have a topic each month. So last month, for example, it was about applicant tracking systems.
Okay.
This month, it's going to be about outplacement and working with people when it comes to outplacement. If we have to come to an unfortunate conclusion, somebody has to leave a company. How do we work through that process with them? We started that chat again. Ours originally was this Not at CHRM event where on a Thursday, I talked to Wendy and I said, hey, bum, we're not going to New Orleans. Why don't we just get on and commiserate on Twitter? Because we know there are a group of people that aren't going to be there in New Orleans. And it became this thing where all of a sudden we spent an hour talking about what do you hope to hear about in CHRM 17? What do you hope to do here? If you've been to New Orleans, what do you miss about the food? Whatever it was.
Yeah.
And that just generated this whole conversation with 60 plus people from 9 countries.
Wow.
And so now with the monthly chat, we typically have, you know, 45 to 55, somewhere in there, people, usually 3 or 4 countries at a minimum. Mm-hmm. We have people that literally will come in from the UK. It's in the middle of the night. We used to have a gentleman, Piyush Govil, who has come on quite a bit. Piyush is in India. So it's 5:30 in the morning when he's on our Twitter chat. And that to me is nuts that he found us and then wants to take part in that global conversation.
Yeah. Like and what's so cool and so encouraging is that those individuals like Piyush I've interacted with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And I would never have made that connection if it weren't for those Twitter chats.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So this whole community that you've built is so powerful.
Right.
You know, of course, many of us start these things and never have any idea what it becomes, right? Which we've talked, it's very humbling experience.
Yes, it absolutely is. Absolutely is.
But you're definitely bringing people together.
That's something we're really proud of. I take great pride in. I look back while I've been very fortunate in my career and had a track record of success, I, like many people that are out there, I got laid off 6.5 years ago, and it was gut-wrenching. I didn't expect it. I worked for a Fortune 200 company that I plan to retire from. Mm. And guess what? Economics change, demands change. There wasn't a need for John anymore.
Yeah.
That was a real gut check, you know, and what was I going to do? And so that's when I got very involved in the HR community online and found that all of a sudden I was able to keep my knowledge base up and make connections with people outside of my area. I live in the Richmond, Virginia area. I'm talking to people literally on the other side of the United States and on the other side of the planet about what we do, because at the end of the day, we're all practitioners. We all are working with a lot of those same issues at the end of the day. Hmm. But absolutely stunned, at the community that's come. And that what was really interesting, we did a couple months ago, Winnie and I took part in the HR Florida conference, mm-hmm. and we were taking part in the 5K. And I'm really proud. And for any of you that maybe contributed, we were the only non-Florida team that had a 5K team together. We came
that's
in
awesome.
Sixth out of 29 in terms of contributions to the 5K. And the funds went to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, which is something I'm very personal about and take a lot of pride in, that our community was willing to donate and give back to this greater good. But Wendy and I were walking this 5K, and literally at the end of the 5K are running the chat. And we had asked a couple friends to help out because we had did an employment law conversation. So we're really fortunate. We know some great employment law attorneys. Thank you, Kate Bischoff and Mark Alifans.
Yeah.
But that chat's going on, even though Wendy and I are hoofing it, it's just like we're not even there. The community's just talking and carrying on, like just not a big deal.
Yeah. We missed you.
Well, we got there, thankfully. But that's, to me, I would have never dreamed when we started 2 years ago that would be the case, that would be happening.
Yeah. Well, and it's something unique to your communication skills, your talents, and your intent. Both of your intent is felt by all of us, that you're trying to build out this community and you're trying to bring people together to make things more progressive and more proactive for all people involved in the world.
I can tell you, and Wendy and I have talked a lot about this, just in my own personal growth. So, you know, beyond this 6 years ago, losing my job and not knowing what was going to happen next, getting involved in the HR community, since we launched the show, my personal growth and my perspective has changed so much because I've met so many tremendous people that don't have the same background that I do, that don't come from a faith base or a location or a skill set. All those things are so incredibly different. I mean, I looked at Wendy, I don't know, we were recording in Las Vegas, and I looked at her and I said, I've changed a lot, right? And she said, yes, you have.
Wow.
And I think for the better. I think it's made me a better person. But that, again, that was never part of necessarily the plan, but I'm really proud that it's happened that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So share a little bit more in your profession. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Share a little bit about your responsibility.
Sure.
And
So again, I work for a construction company as an HR manager. I do primarily everything but benefits and payroll.
Okay.
So when it comes to recruiting and employee relations and training, all those types of things that, you know, starting out, I started my career as a public school teacher. Mm-hmm. So when I first got into HR, I wanted to be a trainer. That was my goal. And the feedback I got was, oh, well, you're going to have to get an HR degree. I said, well, that's dumb. I got a master's in education. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
But I started my career literally as a temp and a temp, or went to a temp agency to be a temp, and they hired me as a recruiter.
Is that right? Okay.
And so that kind of led on this path to go from recruiting and move into many roles in 20 plus years now.
Yeah.
But yeah, for, like I said, from day to day, you know, I'm working with teammates, recruiting teammates. I'm responsible for our social media recruiting platform and moderating that and kind of keeping that overall corporate brand and making sure that everything is consistent there across the company. And again, I travel a lot. So that's one of the fortunate reasons I'm here with you today is that I was able to go from our corporate office to come down here, then go visit some family down in Louisville. But yeah, it's kind of nice because I'm able to do all these different things. Take the skills that I've had, take the experience that I had, develop some things for a family-owned company that didn't necessarily have it when I started to help build those things out. And then now we're developing, we just talked about it a bit, and some of you may have heard, you know, I'm starting to develop some corporate content from a podcasting perspective, which I'm thrilled about. I think it's the next step for us as an organization, and many organizations are starting to go that route. And so how do we continue to be on the forefront? And that's one of the things I get really excited about, and getting to know people like you and so many of the people we've met along the way, you get to see what's coming up, what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
How do I help apply that to a place that maybe didn't have it before?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think to those listening that are in charge of your HR organizations and in charge of your organizations, period, regardless of what function you're in, we have the ability to build brand, to build connection, to build community.
Absolutely.
Inside of our own. And it's part of what has birthed the Talent Magnet Institute.
Right.
Centennial has been around for 44 years.
Yeah.
And we're just leveraging and helping connect the topics around. It's not just about hiring the right leaders, which is critically important.
Yes.
But it's about it's about the culture that you create and the experiences that you have.
Right.
And your experiences, people can hear you as an HR leader for your organization and go, wow, I bet you the culture's not too far off if this kind of leader's there.
Well, I'd like to think so. And I think it's one of those things, too, where we are moving so fast in society, technology, things just get faster and faster and faster. You know, unfortunately, most of us don't work for organizations that move necessarily at that same speed.
Mm-hmm.
And so early on, working for a company that, again, is pretty staid, has been around 80 plus years as a family-owned business too, and I understand how it works, I planted a lot of seeds. And so it took a little while for some of the things to really start to grow. And I used to hear, well, John, I just don't know about this. I said, you know, give it some time. You know, that's one of the critical things is I can't just do it once. I got to keep doing it, building it, building it. Same thing with the podcast. When we started with those 20 some odd listeners, you know, but as you start building the seeds and the weather's right and somebody says, oh, this is a show you should listen to, or all of a sudden somebody puts you on a list somewhere that, hey, John, we saw you're on this list. Okay, great.
Right.
Well,
you're an expert.
Part of the play. Yeah. Well, I tell you, it was really funny. Last year, I had the opportunity to speak at a podcast conference. Would have never dreamed, right? I've been podcasting for fun for years with friends. When Wendy and I launched the Social Hour, again, it was our way of giving back to the community. And as much as trying to build, it was something I felt like I could do. I don't blog. My father was an English teacher. He wanted me to be a speechwriter.
Okay.
I'm just not a writer. That's not where my passion is. But I found this audio world, this media and podcasting, which is incredibly, I just find it incredibly personal. I'm such a fan of the platform in general because I think there's a level of intimacy you don't have in other ways.
Yeah.
You're either going to listen in your car, or you're going to listen on earbuds. It's a much more personal thing. And that's why I'm so passionate beyond the HR podcasts that are out there.
Right.
Just shows that I listen to, communities that I'm part of. I love telling the story. I listen to a comedy podcast that's been around since 2006. So it's arguably one of the oldest comedy podcasts out there. His name's Jimmy Pardo. Jimmy used to be the opening act for Conan O'Brien on his show. Jimmy Pardo tours the country doing a live version of his podcast.
Is that right?
So I went last year to see a live version of the show in Virginia Beach. And there were about 200, 225 people in the audience. He didn't have his producer. It was not recorded, right? So it's not an actual recording so you could go listen to it later. Mm-hmm. It's strictly a live version of what you'd hear on the show. Because he had no producer and no music or anything, the audience sang all the theme songs.
Oh, that's
so you have
cool.
200 people singing these silly theme songs that are made up, you know, for this show. And I took a friend with me who'd only been listening to the show for about a month. I'm sitting there singing like a buffoon, you know, because I know them all. I've been listening to the show for years. Yeah. And my friend looked at me and goes, how do you know this is the community? Yeah. What's even better about that? One of the guys that was there, another fan, drove from Pennsylvania to Virginia Beach, was a woodworker. He brought 200 Christmas ornaments that he had designed that were laser etched, like several different designs, and everybody in the audience got an ornament for coming to the show. And it was specifically for that group of people, for this guy to say, hey, you're fans of somebody like I am, and I want to share something with you. And I get so jazzed about those things. And that's when we talk to you, because I get really jazzed about what you're doing with this show. And I look at what you do with community in such a larger scale than what I do with HR necessarily. And I just get really excited. And I told you on the show then, I'll tell you now, I love the way you do it. Those kind of things, you know, that's what you pick up listening to these things and hearing what people are doing. And I could gush about podcasting for,
well, the,
for hours.
The intent, and you've got another podcast.
I do.
Right? Star Joe's.
Star Joe's podcast. Yes. A friend of mine started that show almost 10 years ago. So he is fairly old school when it comes to podcasting. Mm-hmm. That show's been around for almost 10 years. And it's an 80s podcast, G.I. Joe to Transformers and everything in between. I started listening early on. We're on episode, 220-something, because it's not a weekly. It kind of comes out whenever we do it. But I probably started listening to the show about episode 10. And then my first appearance on that show was episode 75. Hmm. And then I became a co-host 5 years ago.
Wow.
And it's been fun because beyond the HR stuff, I work with a lot of comic book conventions. I'm very involved in the comic book community. So we bring in a lot of my artist friends and creators that I know. We brought them on to talk about either about comics they're working on, their favorite movies. It's a lot of fun. And again, it's a whole different world, just like going to the HR conventions, going to comic book conventions. We were talking a little bit about that lunch. We had lunch earlier with several other practitioners, and that's a whole different beast. You know that. But that community is so passionate, and they're very giving too. Just like you go to an HR conference and get to network and meet people. I've met so many great people in the comic book community going to conferences and conventions, and then you won't see them for a year or two, and all of a sudden you run into them somewhere. Or I've known some people that then they find out I'm in HR, and some of my what have become good friends, they're out of work. Hey, man, can you help me with my resume? Hmm. Absolutely. Hmm. You know, and it's they're like, I can't believe you're helping me out. Like, look, I know you. You're my friend. But again, would have never met some of these people. I knew Bon Jovi's former arborist is a friend of mine.
Really?
Through comic book stuff.
Because you have to have an arborist if you're Bon Jovi.
Well, when he had a house in the Hamptons, my friend worked as a tree guy. And again, well, I remember talking to this guy the first time I remember him. What are you doing? He's like, he told me what he did, and he worked for Bon Jovi, among many other people.
Sure.
But it's that kind of, how in the world does that happen? Yeah. Right? Like, I mean, how do you meet Bon Jovi's arborist?
Yeah.
So again, it's the Star Joe's community. That's what gave me the confidence to start the HR Social Hours. I'd been podcasting for some time as a co-host. And I thought, I know how to do this. Like, I can talk and to people and I can do the interviews. I just need to figure it out. And I knew I wanted a co-host, though, for my show, and had been doing the chat with Wendy. And so she was the first person. I didn't call anybody else. I called her and I said, I want to do this. Do you want to do it? And she said, I guess. And it's, you know, and I was really, really fortunate that she did, because I think while we are similar in a lot of ways, we're very dissimilar and even more. And I think we're really fortunate. We have a chemistry that really works. And I think people trust what we're doing, and that they know, like you said, we're trying to do these things for the right reasons.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Part of the brand connection, you mentioned the desire to build the community. The benefit of podcasting is the inflections that you can hear that you can't read in writing. Right. I mean, you can in some great writers, but it's more difficult in a blog to hear the actual voice inflections, right? And there's something about hearing the story from the guests, you know, their experiences from their perspective,
right?
Absolutely. To help to connect. And you can only, you know, in many cases, we could only imagine what that must have felt like, or what that experience was like, or how did you go boldly into this situation? Mm-hmm. You know, there's just something about hearing leaders talk about those experiences that are special. And the podcast, the nature of the kindness of podcast and the ones that we listen to.
Right.
And I was listening to one just recently that had Jim Collins on it. And it was like Jim Collins had just pulled up a chair and was talking, you know, and we were just having a dialogue. And and we've been really fortunate to have that experience with so many. Yeah. We're doing more and more virtually. But we also enjoy the when we can have a leader like yourself stop in and join us.
That's been really interesting. I love the fact that we were able to do this in person. for those of you that aren't aware, again, I'm in Richmond, Virginia. Wendy's in Brookings, South Dakota.
Yeah.
So everything we do is remote. When we do record together, it's an entirely different feel. So we did a live show in North Dakota, rather, at North Dakota Sherm with a friend of ours there. And it's funny to be in the same room and to be queuing off each other in a little different way than it is just on the phone. But it's amazing the technologies there that it's not just necessarily people. I mean, we've had people from Canada, and I am very keen on having guests from overseas. Not that people I know from Sherm conferences that I can talk to in person. I really want to talk to somebody. However the time differences work, we can make happen.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about having those conversations because, again, I think there's a story there that people, I think many of our listener base will want to hear because it's, again, it's so much about just the people stuff. And I was fascinated. One of our largest downloaded shows to date was interviews with an international group at Sherm. And it was funny. One of the people we talked to was from Australia's favorite movie was Ferris Bueller. Well, he didn't connect that. We were in Chicago, and that's where it takes place. So we're like, man, how do you not think that Ferris Bueller's your favorite movie? How did you not connect that the parade's right down the street?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's fascinating to see, to learn what's just how global other things are over, especially the, I always get keen on the pop culture thing. You know, we'll always ask, what's your favorite movie? What's your favorite TV show and your favorite music? And then my shtick is I try to find, how do I connect with that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm amazed sometimes at the things that people have thrown out that I'm like, holy cow, like I had no idea that you, or how's this or that kind of thing. So,
yeah. Well, we'd like to ask those listeners that have tuned in for today, we're going to provide links. I've provided a couple links to connect with John and with Wendy on the HR Social Hour. And then also John's Twitter account to connect with him there. So you can kind of get in the queue for what the HR Social Hour Twitter chat's going to look like. And of course, we listed Star Joe's for you as well.
Thank you.
So, and I'll put the link. I had the distinct pleasure to be on episode 76 with John and Wendy, and I'll link to that as well. John, as you and Wendy look forward, where do you see? You've mentioned you've done some live chats.
Mm-hmm.
You have this great Twitter chat that has sponsors and a lot of participation in.
Yep.
Have you all talked about what's next? Is there anything, where do you see this going?
You know, it's been a really interesting year, Mike, the last second half of the year. As I think we talked about on our last episode, Wendy and I have now been in conferences together this year, New York, Orlando, Vegas, Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Wow.
And soon to be LA. And we're really fortunate that we have some flexibility with our employers to do our day jobs, but to do these other things, to work as social media on conferences, to be speaking and producing content for some of these conferences as well. It's going to be really interesting. Wendy is in a job now that requires her to travel more, and my schedule is always entertaining in terms of my day job travel. I think so much of it's been organic from the beginning. You know, the growth has been organic. When she launched Wonder Woman, that was an organic kind of, hey, I want to go try something. Like, can I go try this? Like, why not? We can do whatever we really want. It's our thing. It's really nice. And you can appreciate it as a podcaster, an independent podcaster too. You're not beholden to anyone.
Right.
It's what you want it to be.
It's what you want it to be.
And, you know, I have friends that have, I have a lot of people talk to me that want to talk to me about doing this. And I always tell them, it's really easy to start. It's really hard to maintain.
It's really
hard to maintain.
Yeah.
Particularly if you want to be weekly, which has been my goal from the beginning, because I listen to a lot of weekly content and I'm just a big fan of, if you're going to be out there every Thursday morning, John, Wendy got a new show. If something's wrong, like, why isn't there a new show?
Right.
And I know if I miss one or, you know, you miss a few, all of a sudden people forget. Or, hey, I guess something happened. We have not had any long-term conversation to say what is next. We're really excited. We just put out episode 84 yesterday.
Wow.
So we're on the path to 100. We already have a guest lined up for that show. So we have some things in mind. Again, we're going to be doing, I really enjoy the conference content and getting to do some things there. So really excited this upcoming event that we're doing in LA. We're doing a couple things out there with them, some more Facebook Live stuff, because we like that. Unfortunately, I don't have this tremendous setup like you do. It's literally a gorilla stand with my phone. But in North Dakota Sherm, thing kept cutting out. And so I was caught saying something that probably wasn't the nicest thing to say. I was frustrated.
I understand.
But I think people can appreciate, you know, it's, you know, we're raw, we're real. And that didn't mean much of it, but that's how it went. But if you ask me, do I have a 5-year plan? No, I don't.
Plan.
Well, again, we've been really fortunate and we've been really, really incredibly fortunate to find sponsors that want to help us boost our signal and help us to improve our equipment, to do some things a little different, to build some more audience and to tell their story as much as we're telling our own. Mm-hmm. So we've developed some tremendous relationships with some great companies out there and always excited. You know, we've had other people contact us. And so we're in conversation about how do we work together and what makes sense. And again, not being beholden if somebody contacts us, because we've had people contact us that I think sometimes people don't appreciate the fact that one of the things that we do that's a little different is we are our own production. I would love to be at a point where I could farm it out. That's a goal, right? You know, ultimately. But Wendy and I do all our own production work. People don't really understand the time that that takes. And I'll just say it, you know, a lot of times people will contact us and they want to come on the show. We don't know them and they want to sell something. Right. And they want to make it transactional. And I can make it transactional. You're going to pay to be transactional.
Right.
And guess what? It also comes through in the conversation. People are going to feel like, why did John talk to that person? Mm-hmm. And I
feel so different from the other episodes.
I'm proud of everything we've put out. I would never say, oh, this was a dog and you know, people are different. Like, I don't know how they're necessarily going to respond. And sometimes people have said things or didn't say, especially those that are maybe not so accustomed to being in front of a microphone. Out of the 84 we've done, I'll bet we are the first podcast for 80% of them. 80%. So it's a new thing for them. And sometimes it's fear or shy or what have you. And I always say, I want you to be in your best place. I mean, because I want people to know who you are. As I always like to say, we think you're cool. That's why we want to be having this conversation with you. But tremendous amount of fun. And again, I kind of want to see where it goes. I think, you know, Wendy's got some plans for what she wants to do with Wonder Woman, which I'm really excited about for her. She's actually doing that at a conference next year. She and Ann Tompkins are going to be doing a live Wonder Woman recording in front of an audience, which that's kind of a next step for us too, is how do we engage that? Because I think that's a thing where, unfortunately, there's still a large part of a community and people listening to this podcast, that's not who we're trying to necessarily reach, because you already know what this is. There are still people that don't really understand what this is. And I think there are 250 million podcasts out there. Not all are active, but there are a lot out there. Average show only lasts 8 to 10 episodes. So congratulations to you for being well beyond that too.
We're doing it.
And that people don't understand, because again, it goes back to that. It takes time, especially if you're doing your own production. Yeah. It's not just hitting the button and going. There's a lot of behind the scenes work.
Yeah, we couldn't do it without some experts being our backdrop,
sure,
or being our goal stop, or being, you know, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of commitment to do. So we are so thankful that we have that, and to have the, you know, when we crossed over the 5,000 mark, it was like, wow, we've had 5,000 listens. And then we crossed over the 20,000. How? And then there early on, John, I had seen a picture where a lot of podcast groups are always asking about what should the ideal downloads be and all this kind of stuff. And people are like, just be who you are.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Forget about the numbers. Be who you are. Some of us type A's have to know a little bit about the numbers to know how we're doing. But there was an image that was shared, and I'll try to find the image to post it up. But it was like, you know, here's what 20 people looks like.
Right.
20 people is, you know, it's 20 people. Mm-hmm. 20 took the time out to listen for 32 minutes or 40, you know. And then here's what 100 people looks like. And here's what 1,750 people look like.
That's
It puts in perspective, like, wow, we've actually had tens of thousands of people, whether they're unique or not.
Right.
If you've hit 84 episodes.
Well, 84 numbered episodes with Wonder Women and all the specials, we have 124 podcasts. Since February
of last year. And we've had 76, 77. Sure. And we love getting the feedback to your point, a random message from someone that says, or a text message that says, hey, I want to let you know today's episode really struck me here and really made me think. Or, hey, on the run this weekend, I tuned in and really appreciated the conversation that you and John had about being authentic and building community and the work that he and Wendy are doing. I didn't know John and Wendy, and thanks so much. Now I'm connected with them on Twitter and all of these contacts. I had a conference reach out to me recently, and they heard a couple of podcasts, right? That were like, hey, we'd like for you to talk to us about this and see if you'd like to come speak. In particular, local, you may target something local, but now people are reaching out for that. And I know you all have had that experience.
Well, again, it's the reach. Look, the downloads don't mean anything to me at the end of the day. I know we are doing very well. We're doing better than we ever imagined. we have an audience that's very vocal, very passionate, and a community that is very engaged. I mean, you've seen it firsthand.
Oh, yeah.
Your show comes out, people communicate with you and talk to you. So we've never worried about that. Again, we always kind of came from the standpoint, this is our thing, it's fun. I've always said I will do it until it's no longer fun. That's my plan. You know, I guess that's my 5-year plan. If it doesn't have to be fun anymore, I'll put out a show that says, gang, it's not any fun anymore. I'm going to stop.
Yeah. But
I don't see that happening because we just continue to find new people. We meet new people or, you know, you come on and we talk to you and all of a sudden, hey, do you know my friend so-and-so? And you're introduced to these other really fascinating people that, and we spend time with everybody before they ever come on. You know, we're never going to have somebody on cold. Wendy and I are either together or separately or at some point, we've talked to that person and spent 30 minutes with them to figure out, is this somebody that, how are they going to do to some extent, right? To kind of see or can't, how do they carry? But is this somebody that we want to be part of this? And I'm sure you get more than I do. People want to come on and pitch something or they've point blank asked, can I come on? And
yeah, I need
how does that really connect with?
Yeah.
I had somebody lately, very entertaining on LinkedIn, contact me, said, I listen to your show. Really appreciate what you're doing. Well, that's really nice. I click accept. Next message. I would love to come on your podcast.
And talk about.
And talk about. But as I'm reading the message, I realize very quickly, this person's not listened to too many episodes because if they had, they would understand immediately that our guests don't come on to pitch stuff necessarily.
Yeah.
And I wrote them back and I said, I think if you're trying to pitch what you have, you might want to go to some other shows. And I'm happy to make a couple introductions, but I don't think we're the show for you. And then I said, or, you know, maybe you'd like to sponsor because there's some interesting things they're doing. Maybe it's a potential there. The note I got back was, well, we're a bootstrap startup. Well, guess what? The HR social hour is a bootstrap startup too.
Yeah, we are.
And if you're, you know, this person that I've never talked to that started out nice and was very complimentary to suddenly say, hey, I want to come on and pitch my wares. Dude, you're not listening at all, or you've listened to one and thought, oh, this maybe is just how they do it. But
we've told people for people that have reached out. Is that we need to know you.
Absolutely.
Whether it's I need to know you or one of our faculty members need to know you or team members at Centennial or faculty members of the Talent Magnet Institute need to know you in order for us to really do justice for our listeners of what the story is that's going to connect and resonate, right? So, and we have had companies talk, even companies that want to sponsor, we've decided to, you know, let's be sensitive on that sponsorship word and what that looks like and how it feels to the audience and all of those types of things. But we really need to know you. And I think that's the point. You're trying to help people get to know others, not necessarily by product and service.
Sure.
So, and get to know the heart of people is so critical.
As we talked about earlier, again, we've been really fortunate to develop relationships with several companies that have helped us to do some things bigger. And we do shows with them that focus on them. However, while we talk about what they do and the product they have, we also always talk about the individual that's on the in that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So last month, our sponsor, we'd met our guest before, didn't spend a lot of time with him. And all of a sudden, it's one of the most entertaining conversations I'd had in the last 6 months. It was neat to talk about the product he had, but just to find out about him as a person was fascinating because he had some really unique interests that just resonated with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that show has done well because I think people listened and said, okay, they're going to talk about a product for 10 minutes, but on the next 20 minutes is about a person who I may meet down the road.
Yeah,
if I go to a conference, they're at a booth, that person may be standing there.
Yeah.
And he's got a pretty cool story.
Yeah, you know? That's
so
really cool.
That's been a lot of fun too, to, I guess, to humanize, to put a face to some of those things.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And again, the long term, just some of the opportunities that we've seen, that it's not just a, hey, here's a buck and do something. It really is how do we develop a long-term relationship with some of those folks.
Yeah.
Productive for both of us.
Yeah. Well, to those who have tuned in today, we want to thank you. I strongly encourage, I provided some links to go check out the HR Social Hour podcast to connect with John and Wendy. And just thank you for all that you two do in our community and how you're making our world feel smaller by bringing great people together.
I appreciate that.
Well, great, powerful content.
Again, it's the Mutual Appreciation Society, as Sarah Knowles and I talk about. Again, I respect so much what you're doing, not just from a podcast perspective, but in your community at large. To me, it's very powerful. When Wendy and I have talked about having you on the show, I'm like, you need to go check out what he's doing because it's really cool.
That's
I think our audience, it's going to resonate with somebody that I may not expect it to resonate with or in a way that doesn't resonate. And I think that's one of the really great parts about this community building is that you never know. You just never know how it may hit. I always say you, me, Wendy, Steve Brown, whoever's standing there, we could all say the same thing, but say it in a different way. And that person may hear it from one of us and really, really hit them in a way that's very powerful. And I think that's the beauty of podcasting, doing these types of things, being out there and having those conversations.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank also, John and I had a terrific lunch today with
Karen
Brandenburg and Julie Stevens Doyle. Thank you both for all that you do for our community. We got a little group here in Cincinnati that we get together that are all a part of the HR tribe. And we missed some of those today, Jennifer McClure and Steve Brown and
Nicole Roberts
and Cindy.
I'm incredibly blessed that the greater Cincinnati area has adopted me as an HR person.
That's right.
I love it. I'm so fortunate I get to come through town once a quarter, once every 6 months. But I always know, like I put it on the book. Today, I met someone in Columbus for the first time for coffee, another HR practitioner, had a great conversation. He said, oh, what are you doing next? I said, I'm driving to Cincinnati. I'm going to record a podcast. And I get to have lunch with these practitioners. He said, that's unbelievable. That's the beauty of this.
That's the beauty
of the community that's come out of being a part of these things.
Yeah. So we encourage you all to continue to connect with our communities. And thank you for being a part of our communities. Thank you for your friendships. Thank you for your leadership in the world in which you're leading today. And John, thank you again for joining us here in the studio live.
Thank you.
And we look forward to seeing the next chapter here that we're both embarking upon.
Sounds like a plan.
All right.
Take care. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Talent Magnet Institute podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode and help spread the word by leaving a review.
The Talent Magnet Institute podcast is powered by Centennial, a talent strategy and executive search firm, and the Talent Magnet Institute. You can engage with us at Talent Magnet I on Twitter or Talent Magnet Institute on LinkedIn and Facebook. Please communicate by using hashtag Talent Magnet. Find us in your favorite podcast app to subscribe, rate, and leave a review, as well as share with a colleague. You can also listen at talentmagnetpodcast.com. Our podcast studio is based in Greater Cincinnati, Ohio. We are supported by our listeners, clients, and partners from all over the world. The Talent Magnet Institute podcast is made possible by a great team that includes Janelle Spence and Christine Lewis of Centennial, Josh Chappelle and Adam Smith of SoundPress, produced by Chris Madine of New Fidelity.